Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into snap reactions, AFC receivers, and tight ends for this week. Baltimore Ravens, 38 dropbacks in week 12, 32 routes for Marquise Brown, 22 for Bateman, 18 for Watkins. That gives you an idea of the order. 9 targets, 8 receptions, 51 yards for Brown, 4 for 4 on targets and receptions for Bateman, 31 yards. When you look at his target share on the season here over the past 6 games for Bateman, 22%, 14, 20, 19, 17, 12. So involved, full breakout, no. But clear wide receiver 2 at this point. And we have some questions about 38 dropbacks. If we're only going to see, you know, high single digits of that in terms of target share, what are we expecting? Those are just dropbacks. Those aren't even attempts. And with Lamar, high scramble rate, all those things, like, you have, I think, a much lower both floor and ceiling for him operating in that area. So a little bit of concern there with the ultimate ceiling. Again, when you have Marquise Brown, when you have Mark Andrews, you have a big you already have an ecosystem in this passing offense. It is a tough ask for Bateman to be to crack either of those guys in terms of getting into the top 2 of the offense, and as a third in a more of a run-centric offense, I have concerns about ceiling. So that's the thing. The other thing I would say about Andrews, 28-31% target share the past 2 weeks. He's 12 for 138 and a touchdown the past 2 weeks. Tight end 3. I'm interested to see where he goes in the offseason. Like, I think he could be, I think after Kelce and after Pitts, depending on what sort of range you want to go in the draft, about, you know, are you going contending, are you going productive? And I'm not even sure if contending teams are going to be, you know, I'm not sure if what the argument for Kelce is going to be in the offseason. We have to digest that a little bit. But I think once you get after that, after those 2 guys, I think Andrews has as good of an argument as anyone to be up at the top of that position, especially when you look at the fact that he's really high in the position. You know, I wrote him up for Football Guys this week in terms of the dynasty movers. Really high in the position in routes, like top 5, top 6 in the position, which has never really been his thing. So when you look at that, really encouraging about his volume and about how good he is. So he's always been a high efficiency guy. He's now becoming a high volume guy relative to the position, which is critical for his upside. All right, Buffalo seasonal target share here for the receivers, 24.4% for Diggs, 18.9% for Beasley. Sanders is 14.6, Gabe Davis 6.5. Dawson Knox, notably, just short of 9 expected points per game. He's up to 12.7. Actual points per game. He's tight end 10 on the season there. So I think one thing I did actually look up with Diggs, Chad and I were having a discussion. I don't even know if it made the air. I don't think it made the air. We were just discussing Diggs, and I looked up Diggs. Diggs was wide receivers that had 25 or more points last year in all the playoff weeks. Or, you know, I just went through and looked at who had 25 or more points in the playoff weeks. And Diggs was Diggs had it in all of them. He was the only person that did it 3 times. And it was, like, immense performances, too. And a huge proportion of his stats came down the stretch last year. So, especially relative to other players. So, like, there's still a chance that he could get even higher. He's a wide receiver 1 for sure. And we'll see here as they sort of go down the stretch run. I think that there's an argument to be made that he actually sees more volume because he's coming off the field. He's not running as high a percentage of snaps as he was last year in terms of routes. So I think that's an interesting development that we'll see and be looking for a little bit more ceiling out of Diggs. Maybe he approaches 26, 27, 28% in terms of target share for the season if that holds true. Okay, Cincinnati, and few things are as consistent as CJ Uzama's target share this year. 10%, 8%, 11%, 12%, 10%, 12%. Those are over his last 6 games. There's a bye kicked in there, so that's going back to week 6. So, again, that's kind of in the tight end 1-2 range of the, you know, it's more tight end 2 than it is tight end 1, but you sort of get the idea. I mean, there's variance on those targets in that range. Weeks 1 through 8 for Ja'Marr Chase, 13.8 expected points per game. Actual points per game, 19.9. T. Higgins, 12.7 expected points per game, 14 points per game during that time in reality. So both of them overperformed Chase massively so. Since weeks 9 through 12, expected points per game for Ja'Marr Chase, 24.3, so a massive increase. And actual points per game, 11.9. Massive decrease. And then Higgins, 17.5 expected points per game, drops down to just under 9 points per game. So we've seen a total flip-flop in terms of overperformance versus underperformance. That should probably get us closer to Ja'Marr Chase performing at his actual number here over the course of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how that ultimately unfolds. Those numbers subject to tweaking. So there was some weird stuff going on with PFFs as I was sort of prepping these notes. So if you look later, you know, if you're listening to this, I'm recording it Tuesday afternoon. I'm not sure all the data was adding up right as they were sort of loading up the data. So if you're looking now at those stats, they might be a tinge different than they were when I was looking at them. All right, Cleveland and Landry's target share over the past 2 weeks, 28 and 27%. He's 24th in routes the past 2 weeks in the league. He is 25th in expected points per game. In weeks 9 through 12 at 16.6 points per game. So, again, that wide receiver 2, everything's sort of pointing to that wide receiver 2-3 fringe for him. And I think that makes him absolutely playable, right? And I think that actually there's been some spots where I've been, like, looking at it, I'm like, man, I'm kind of struggling at wide receiver. Landry seeing an increase in volume on some of those places will help. So I think that you could expect that. I think you could expect basically wide receiver low end, wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3 production down the stretch. So again, if you're thinking this could be one of those situations where maybe you were looking at, hey, making a trade or something like that, you could potentially be in the Landry business and see an uptick from him and feel fine with it. And not necessarily need to spend assets to make a trade for a guy in that range. Because I think Landry's going to be found money in that range going forward. And then Joku here, 10%, 14%, 12%, 14%, 14% in terms of target share here over the past 5 games. Some upticks here for Hooper as well. He's been 15 and 24% in that time span. So we'll be interested to see sort of as this offense evolves in the post-Odell Beckham world, is this a scenario where we can get both tight ends, you know, we get multiple tight ends to be productive here. I think that's something that we could definitely see some more of. And so when you look at it, Hooper, again, coming off of 8% target share this past week, but in week 11, 24%, 15% in week 10, and then 10% in week 9 and 19% in week 8. So he has the two highest target share numbers of the season, two of the three, I should say. There is a 22% for Joku in week 5 when basically no one else was playing, but 24% from Hooper in week 11 marks the highest of the position this year. And he has actually two 24%. So yeah, two of his performances are the two highest, and then he's got a 19 as well, which jumps over. So basically three out of the top four highest target shares at the tight end position of the season have come from Hooper. So some unique upside there. And actually, when you think of, you know, if you're playing best ball or if you're playing or not best ball, if you're playing DFS, something like that, like he actually might be a sneaky one to be have more ceiling than the otherwise more thought of athletically David Joku. Okay, since week 8 for Denver, there's been a big split, I guess we'll say, in terms of the usage amongst the receivers and Fant. So Fant has been he missed week 9 with he was out. I believe that was a COVID game, if memory serves. And then with the week 11 bye. So last 3 games for him, again, 4 games for everyone else in the stretch. 15, 17, 16% target share. Over the last 4 games, Patrick, 12, 18, 17, 12%. Judy, 15, 29, 25, 12%. And Sutton, 15, 7, 8, 12%. So seeing Judy actually fit in there above both Sutton and Patrick is curious considering how they just spent all their money. When you look at since week 8, Fant, tight end 13 in terms of expectation, 11.2 points per game expected, 6.8 actual points per game. So underperforming his performance, but I think that there is still that wide receiver, low-end wide receiver, or low-end tight end one type production, and then, yeah, that's flex viable in safe leagues. Okay, Houston, since week 8, Brandon Cooks expected points per game 16.4, actual points per game 11.9. I think we get some regression back towards the expected points aspect of this, but he's really the only player that I trust in the passing game, and I trust him on that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 flex consideration depending on roster size and lineup and all that. I feel fine with him, especially I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor under center than Davis Mills. So I think Cooks is what he is at this point in his career. He's just pretty consistently in that same range. Michael Pittman, 22.6% target share on the season. Turn it to Indianapolis here. At least 15% since week 2. 4 of the last 5 have been above 20%. Since week 8, his target shares, 29%, 20%, 15%, 25%, and 23%. When you look over the past 4 games for T.Y. Hilton, 10, 15, 10, 11. So T.Y. Hilton's really playing the wide receiver 3 role in this offense, playing pretty minimally. And actually, Pascal's playing ahead of him. So not a ton there. I think Pittman's definitely the guy to own in this roster in this offense. It then becomes a question of, you know, what are you looking for? You know, I think T.Y., he got on the board this past week. I think you're looking at more of a role player for him at this point in his career in the offense than he is true fantasy contributor. Jack Doyle, 15, 25, and 16% target shares over the past 3 weeks. He's run 55 routes during that time, 17 targets, so being targeted on over 30% of his routes during that time span. I think that's going to come down, but I do think that there is a chance that it stays a little bit higher again as we see sort of Hilton phased into, I think, a lesser, more ancillary role. I think there is some opportunity there in this offense for a guy like Jack Doyle. Do I think he's going to average, you know, at or about 20% target share? Probably not. But if he averages in mid to highish teens, like that could be pretty valuable, you know, just from a volume basis here going forward. So I think that's something to monitor. He's maybe available, so go ahead and check him out if he's available in your league. It's probably not a bad waiver wire addition, you know, and I think he's picking up steam a little bit in terms of perception. So I would, and he's probably not going to be available for long. So this is probably the time to strike on him. Okay, Jacksonville and the LaVisca Chenault breakout that we were promised. Is it coming? I don't know, but he's certainly trending in a better direction here with Chenault at 23%, 20%, and 21% target shares over the past 3 games. On the season, he's wide receiver 65 in terms of points per game at 8.4, wide receiver 51 in terms of expected points per game at 10.5. So trending in the right direction for him. Again, long way to come from in terms of being fully fantasy viable and being highly valuable in the offseason. But I think that's a noticeable trend. He's not a player that's hugely in our orbit, but I think he's definitely one to watch for. And especially if Trevor Lawrence begins to improve, he's one that could potentially see an uptick here as he has some target volume, target volume and value, baked in his resume here at this point. Dan Arnold, I got to be careful. It's not Darnold. Dan Arnold, 21st in routes in the past 3 weeks. He's 6 for 76 during that span. I know he was hot earlier. He was hot until I picked him up and played him, and then I instantly put a damper on that. So my apologies to Dan Arnold. I think he's officially, you know, interesting. We'll watch, but probably watching from afar at this point. I'm not going to say he's necessarily a cut guy, but He's probably not someone I'm going to feel super, super comfortable playing and in tighter lineups if I've got a better, you know, if he's going to sit the bench behind a better tight end. I don't think moving on is going to be the most debilitating thing if you have other waiver wire needs you need to address. All right, Tyreek Hill, 26.2 target share on the season. It's just over 12 for Mecole Hardman. He's got 6 and 8 the past 2 weeks. Kelsey in week 10 through 12. I know we did the deep dive on him earlier. He's seen a big uptick in terms of his performance. So in weeks 10 through 12, last 3 weeks, PFF grade is 75.1. That's good. It's 12th at the position, so again, that's positive. And then you look at his yards per route run, 2.51 over that time span. So a really, really high-end production here. Is he back? I'm not sure he's ever going to get back to where he was, but he's definitely above where he was earlier in the season. So we'll take it. We'll take it. And, you know, just in time for a stretch run here for contending teams. He has a 20.8 target share on the season. So between him and Hill, just less than 50% of the offense. Okay, turning to the Chargers, and over the past – oh, by the way, in Kansas City, I mean, outside of those two guys, there's not really anyone. I think the Hardman stat, you know, there's not really anyone that I trust outside of those guys in the passing game. You know, there will be guys that produce, but I don't think we can pick them, and it's generally on like 10% target share. It's tough to live that way as a fantasy streamer. Okay, over the past – 5 weeks here. Really good performance for Keenan Allen. He's been north of 30% target share in 4 out of those 5 games, which is just absurd. The other one he had 23%. So really good performance there. The target shares for Mike Williams during that time span, 14%, 13%, 18%, 15%, 18%. So much more slotting into the wide receiver 2-3 type valuation that he's been basically his entire career. When you look at their efficiencies, Allen's run the second most routes from week 10 through week 12, so that's the past 3 weeks. Third most there for Mike Williams, and during that span, 2.3 yards per route run for Mike for Keenan Allen, 1.37 yards per route run for Mike Williams. So Allen smashing right now at the wide receiver position. Mike Williams, again, fitting more into that wide receiver 3 type landscape than he was the, you know, top 5 guy to start the season. Hunter Renfrow, 20% target share on the season, so really good performance from him. So since week 10, there have been 3 performances. Since week 9. They had a bye in week 8. So week 9 to present, so the last month basically, there's been 3 performances in which a non-Hunter Renfrow wide receiver has gone over 10% target share. Zay Jones and DeSean Jackson this past week, Bryan Edwards in week 10. So that pretty much tells you all you need to know about the wide receiving core around Renfrow. There's just not a lot there. And it's really tough to sort of live in that world. You know, you hope for D-Jax, but even like with a good performance, 10% market share this past week, just not particularly helpful. Waller, tight end 3 in terms of expected points, 14.7. He's at 12.9, so he's underperforming expectation here. I think we can have some hope that maybe he can have a good stretch run here with his volume and his potential. I wouldn't bet against that, but I don't think he's reached the ceiling that some of us had hoped and expected for. All right, Miami, 20% or more market share for Jalen Waddle each week since week 6, with the exception of 17% in week 10. He is 8th in expected points per game since week 6, 17.1 expected points per game. He is performing at 18.1 actual points per game. A name to note here in this offense is Albert Wilson, 14%, 12%, and 19% target share the past 3 weeks. I don't think he's a huge, you know, go break the bank or anything like that. But if you're sort of streaming some names of interest, I think he's one. And if there were something to happen to Jalen Waddle, I think Wilson could fit in that type of role and landscape pretty easily in terms of trying to replicate some of the stuff that Waddle does. Not that he would do it to the same level as Waddle would, but he could be used in that type of role. Durham Smythe, 15 and 16% target share the past 2 weeks. I don't think it's all that relevant in terms of, you know, fantasy in terms of putting him in your lineup or anything. But it is a name to note in case there's anything that happens to Gesicki, that he could be a potential next guy up situation. You know, if you're, it doesn't seem like this is a situation where you're going to need to go out and add him. But I think Durham Smythe is one. You know, if you're playing two tight ends or something like that. He's one. He's a name that, you know, you absolutely should be monitoring. He's been targeted on 9 of his 36 routes over the past 2 weeks. Okay, the Patriots here, you're just seeing a massive conglomeration of these guys. And you're seeing essentially 4 guys go into double figures in target share each week. It's a relative, you know, it's a relative egalitarian share of targets. In terms of being pretty much spread all over, you get Jacoby Myers is really the lead guy, you know, seeing 23 and 25%. He's the only guy to crack 20% in this offense in the past 3 weeks. But then you look at Aguilar has been north of 15% twice. The other time he was 9% over the past 3 weeks. Kendrick Bourne, 15%, 15%, 19%. Hunter Henry has been north of 12% each of the past 3 weeks, so 15, 12, and 16%. So you sort of get the idea. Lots of work there. It's spread out, a lot of distributing the ball. Jonnu Smith didn't play in week 10, but 8% in week 11, 12% this past week. So you get the idea. You're spreading it around. And I think there's a super dominant player on this team, but they're doing a lot of, you know, it's just that Patriots kind of do your job type of stuff. They're just implementing that with the receivers. And Kendrick Bourne playing really, really well right now. So I think he's really their, him and Myers, I think, are the most, the two most dangerous guys at this point. You know, and like Aguilar, if something were to happen to either one of them, maybe some, Aguilar sort of has that. A chance to see an uptick in that role. But yeah, I don't feel great about any of them. They feel more like wide receiver three type considerations just from a volume perspective. But I think they can play. You know, I think there's like a question of can these guys play? I think they can play. All right, turning to the Jets here. And, oh, I do think Henry, like Henry is firmly on that tight end 1-2 consideration every week. He's, you know, if I have him in safe leagues, I'm probably starting him because he's got one in my flex. Ryan Griffin for the Jets, 10 and 17% target share the past 2 weeks. Not anything super notable, but that's an uptick. Again, if I don't know if that's going to stick and stay, but if in a couple weeks we look back and we're like, hey, there's been 4 straight double-digit target weeks for Ryan Griffin, maybe he deserves some flex consideration or something like that, some tight end premium leagues. Just something to keep an eye on more than necessarily run out and add. Elijah Moore, 28 and 33% target shares the past 2 weeks. Like, this is the Elijah Moore we were promised, this phenom freak in training camp. Like, this is what we were promised. So let's see what he has to offer. At least 14% target share in all the games. Corey Davis has been active this season, but just hasn't seen that huge ceiling type performance as of yet. And in a lineup with injuries and stuff, he missed week 12. So we'll see where he goes for, and, you know, maybe the end of the season, you could see a potential improvement for a stretch run, you know, and build some momentum for both he and Zach Wilson into the offseason for next year. Deontay Johnson, I found this just incredible. And you know what? I'll say this. If you put Deontay Johnson in DK Metcalf's body, I think people would lose their mind. But because Deontay Johnson looks like Deontay Johnson and not DK Metcalf, people have this perception about him. 30% of his target, 30% target share in 7 of 10 games. Just incredibly high value, high volume performance. Again, he's a guy that where I have a need at wide receiver, I'm interested in addressing it with him because he's I think he's a good, it's a good dynasty trade. I've tried first and a little bit extra. You know, they've been largely later first. I haven't had any bites, but he's definitely a guy that I'm targeting here because I don't think people appreciate how good he is because the offense, generally speaking, isn't particularly good. Chase Claypool, at least 14% target shares in the games he's played this year. Again, but it's lower ceiling type stuff. He hasn't gotten to the same level that Deontay Johnson has. This is a Deontay Johnson, then Chase Claypool offense. I think people, perception-wise, would treat them the other way because of what Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool look like. Pat Freiermuth, since week 8, he's been a top 5 tight end. He's number 1 in terms of total points. top five in expected points, top five in points per game. So when you look at all that, like, he's officially interesting. Yeah, I was debating, you know, who would you rather have, him or Fant in Dynasty? I think that's an interesting discussion, in that if we're going to have that debate, you know, who would you rather have, him or Goddard? You know, if we're going to have that debate, that puts him really in the mid to low tight end one consideration for Dynasty. And I think those debates are justifiable. I think I'd probably rather have Goddard. You could pitch me on Freiermuth over Fant at this point, especially because I think Fant's essentially in a capped system, but if you saw something like 15% to 20% for Freiermuth in terms of target share on a weekly basis, that wouldn't shock me either. So that's really my concern with Fant, is we haven't seen this high ceiling that I think a lot of us had hoped for. So I'm really interested in Freiermuth going forward. Again, if the price to a from Freiermuth to a high-end producer like Andrews or Kelsey and you are contending, if the cost isn't that much, if it's not a core asset, which if a team is rebuilding and you're contending, it might not be always possible, but it might be a possibility to explore. And we tend to be in a little bit more than the market on Pat Freiermuth. That's a pivot that I would make. But again, like, you can start him right now, and I think feel decently comfortable about it. Okay, over the past couple weeks here, Nick Westbrook Akina, 15% and 24% target share, 2.13 yards per route run. Tried to jip him there. There will be no jipping of Nick Westbrook Akina. He's playing pretty well and stepping into a role, and honestly auditioning, because like this wide receiver too, like this sounds ridiculous, but I can't believe we're saying this in November for a team that was just a one seed, like not, as of this recording about 96 hours ago, was the one seed in the AFC. But the wide receiver two role on the opposite side of AJ Brown is open. You know, especially because they can move on from Julio and those sorts of things. Like, it's open. And Nick Westbrook Akina is staking a claim. So we'll see here. He's going to have all the opportunity in the world over the next couple of weeks to sort of consolidate that. Be really interesting to see what this next month and, you know, can do for him over this next month in terms of laying a resume and staking a claim for that wide receiver two role. Chester Rogers, same type of workload in terms of 56 routes. He had 12% and 14% target share. He's got a third of the yards per route run. So this is a Nick Westbrook Akina situation all the way here in the Tennessee receiving core. Anthony Firkser has been a disappointment. I was hoping for more, and we have been let down. So there's that. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition, AFC Snap Reactions for the wide receiver and tight end position. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.